Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. The public education system is an epic fail, with 80% of high school seniors not proficient in math and 66% are not proficient in reading. Well, it's no wonder that more parents are homeschooling. Today, we have an expert in the field to discuss the importance of what's known as a classic Christian education. Stay tuned. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. All right. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Krulaitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you're joining us again this week. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Right. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, on to today's program. My guest is Lee Bortons. She is the founder of Classical Conversations, which is one of the most popular homeschooling curriculums. And it is for good reason. It provides a comprehensive classic Christian education from ages 4 through high school. And it all started in 1997 with 11 students in Lee's basement in North Carolina. And now they have over 3,000 locations worldwide. Well, Lee, welcome to the Moms for America podcast. Thank you for joining us.
It's very nice to be here. I've enjoyed all the various times I've heard your mothers speaking around the country, and they're so enthusiastic.
We're all on the same team, aren't we? Just trying to raise our kids and protect and guide them and teach them, which is what we're going to talk about today, because education is such a big part of us parenting. So first, before we get into all the basics and all the history here, tell me a little bit about your tribe. I mean, you are quite the mama.
Oh, well, thank you for thinking that. Yeah, I mean, I just got off the from texting with our youngest son. He's in special forces and he's deployed somewhere. And I told him, you know, you give me political street cred. I'm so proud of you. And, you know, the folks that we hang around with are so political, aren't they, Debbie, that they love, I mean, patriotic, that yeah. They love that. So my husband and
I. How many kids? Yes.
Well, my husband and I have been married for 43 years and we have 4 sons. And now we have 3 daughter-in-laws and 5 grandbabies. So we're fortunate that 3 of the 4 children live nearby us, and the one that's down in Florida and has their second on the way. I get to go down there a whole lot. And I'm really blessed that Emma, his new wife, they've been married just like 3-4 years. She's my personal assistant. So we get along very, very well. Yeah. And then So my son, David's wife is a classical Christian school teacher at the local ACCS school. And then, of course, April is a homeschooling mom of our oldest 3 grandchildren who are all in Classical Conversations. So we're here in the middle of North Carolina enjoying actually really nice weather, except for this odd storm that came up.
Oh, boy. Well, seems like you've got just such a nice tribe there and all the different facets, right? From grandmother to parenting, to kind of looking back a bit on the legacy that you built with Classical Conversations. I mentioned this right before we started that truly so many of my moms did homeschool. I did a little bit with my guys, but I was in a pretty conservative, again, we're going back a bit because my guys are 27, 25, and 21. I had a good educational system over here and I did a lot of support, kind of like homeschooling support, I would say, in our home with our kids. But I want to talk a little bit about the beginning and what prompted you to start Classical Conversations. Right now, education is in a crisis. We know that. In 1997, let's talk about what you were seeing, why you decided to homeschool and why you decided to like, not many people just decide to start their own curriculum at their kitchen table.
Yeah. So we'd actually been homeschooling since 1983. And like many homeschoolers, when the older ones start headed towards high school, you start looking around, second guessing yourself, trying to, you know, figure out what can we do to up the game, you know, what happens with college credits and all those kind of things. And so we spent some time interviewing headmasters at private schools around our county. And my husband just came to the conclusion that We needed to keep our sons at home, and that we should continue with the networks we'd already built in homeschooling. And one of the reasons we, not just us, were looking around, the other pioneers were looking around. So I gathered some friends and I said, look, we've done all this hard work. Let's not give up. Just at the point when they're going to be fun, they're going to be adults, they can help us, right? They can be so interesting and so many opportunities in the high school years. So we got together with about four or five families and 11 students in my basement, and the mamas and the students all worked together just one day a week, and then to practice classical Christian education, which there was not a lot of support or knowledge about at that point. So we're looking back in 97. And so we just had such a great time doing that together that the next year we said, okay, now some of our younger ones are coming on. And so we started right there in those middle school years with what we called Challenge One and Challenge Two. And so we started Challenge A, B, One, and Two the next year. We split up, the four of us who'd been working together. And 2 years later, we had 300 children on the waiting list.
Think
So
about that.
we knew we'd hit something. And I think
Yeah.
one of the reasons it went so well is those of us who started CC together, we'd already been running the math clubs and the sports clubs and the homeschool co-ops and the homeschool support network. I mean, this is all before internet. So everything was extremely local. So at one point, half the homeschoolers in our county were in classical conversations. And over the,
Wow.
it's like 3, 4 years into it, then our oldest children of the four of us started going on to college, and they were getting full scholarships to selective universities. And people were just like, okay, I guess this works. And just began joining us.
Yeah,
So.
I guess this works is right. So academically, emotionally, spiritually, all of that for our kids, because you look at the child as a whole, obviously. I wonder, was homeschooling popular back in the 80s? I remember always hearing about it, and then the 90s, nothing like it is now, of course. Now it's like exploded, and for good cause.
Yeah, no, people forget what we pioneers had to do back in the late 70s and 80s. I mean, I had friends whose children were taken from them for homeschooling. I had friends who were fined for homeschooling. We helped support families who were put in jail, and the kids put in foster care. We fought really, really
Because it was
hard.
considered child abuse, or what the
Yes, it was
heck?
child abuse. Yeah, the scariest thing because that could happen was to have a woman in a skirt with a police officer knock on your door, truant officers, and that's why Mike Ferris and what he did with the Homeschooling Legal Defense Association was so very, very important and continues to be, because that knock would come on the door, and at that point when you homeschooled, you didn't let your kids out before 3 o'clock because you didn't want your neighbors tattling on you, and this is all, of course, in the United States. And so, that knock would come on the door. You'd look out your window, you open the curtain, and we all knew immediately, get HSLDA on the phone. And so,
Wow.
during that 10-year period where we were really being harassed by the NEA and local school boards, was also when the homeschool network started really working together. Persecution always makes people work harder.
Yeah.
And so, we worked with a number of organizations, and within that 10-year period, all 50 states basically set aside compulsory education so that we could all homeschool. And Mike Ferris and HSLDA, as well as all the state organizations who lobbied with us, did an amazing job putting freedom forward. And of course, I can't say the rest was history. In the 90s and the aughts, we had kind of a breathing space. The NEA was leaving us alone. Basically, the congressmen had looked at them and said, stop harassing them. You don't get any of their
Right.
money. You don't have to build new buildings. Take their money. And we were like, take our money. We do not want it. With the shekels come the shackles. Just leave us alone. And so we had about 20 years of nobody really bothering us. And we weren't that big either, right? We were kind of under the radar during those years. Even though, so most parents have no idea that the reason why they have school choice and freedoms that they do now is because homeschoolers defeated the compulsory education laws.
Yes,
Right? And so
so
now
true.
anybody can be in, like, so let's say you start a little micro school tomorrow and you want to be in your home with six kids and maybe a tutor who comes in now and then. You don't have to worry about truant officers and compulsory ed laws. Just say that you're homeschoolers, sign up under the homeschool law, and do what you want.
Isn't
I
that
mean,
great?
yeah, so freedom is our
Yeah.
policy.
Freedom is your policy is right. And you know, it's true when you say pioneers in this, because you forged the path really for freedom to educate in your home. And we've talked so much on the podcast about, you know, all of our founding fathers until what, you know, how many years ago. I mean, everybody was homeschooling, everybody was teaching in their home in small, you know, small organized areas that the parents were involved in. I mean, this is new, this whole institutionalized education, and it's had a lot of challenges. Clearly, the public schools have failed academically over the last few decades, and some really have become indoctrination camps, and they're pushing ideology, they're leaving God out of the schools, they're abandoned any kind of patriotism in the classroom for standing for the flag. And society is obviously, you know, a calling card, unfortunately, for what's happened in the academic world. So, record numbers of homeschoolers and parents are waking up, and they're homeschooling, and they're kind of running away from public school education.
Yeah, and you know, I want to address something you actually said about yourself at the beginning of this interview about, homeschooling at home with the support of the school system. So my husband and I say every single parent homeschools. We
Right,
all just pick and choose how
100%.
much of the responsibility we're going to do on our own with our friends, with an institution, with vendors and commercial people, our church, our pastor, the artists down the street. Right. So we're all responsible because when we sit on that bema seat, when we're in front of the Lord, I'm not going to be responsible, Debbie, for you and your decisions, but I will be responsible for what the Lord gave me.
That's
And
right.
so it's just really important to us that we just recognize that, you know, the king's coin is the king's man, and we mean little k. We're not interested in the government's money. We are so interested in honoring God because he has more money than anybody. And so it's just kind of a different worldview because we're raising our children. I think within the classical Christian homeschooling market, we're raising our children to be ambassadors for Christ. We're raising them to be judges of angels. We're raising them to be, kings on the throne alongside their brother Jesus. And if you seek first the kingdom of God like that, guess what?
That's
They
right.
learn math. They learn phonics, they learn to
They
read, they
sure
learn to
do.
debate, because if you love your children, you'll make sure they're equipped to never be excluded from any form of human endeavor and to always be ready with an answer for the hope that they have. And so, in order to do that, they need to be good at public speaking, confident with adults and people they've not met before. So, you know, it's
And you do such
really
a great job with your curriculum, because debate is such an important part of that, critical thinking, let alone Latin, and just all the amazing aspects you put into the education. And again, some of that I was always kind of utilizing even with my kids. And to your point, we're all homeschooling always, because we are the greatest influence in our children's lives. So whether you have your kids in public education or a private school, which we did with our youngest, you take them out of school and you can bring them to Constitution classes, or to Washington, D.C. for your own field trips, or to participate in science fairs that are out of the school realm, and supplement and design your children's education. You talk about how children naturally want to learn. I'd like to talk a little bit about that, because sometimes I think as parents, we think, oh my gosh, we got to make them learn, but they naturally want to learn.
Yeah, I mean, I think we squash it out of them by treating them like a cog in a factory model, you know, about it's all about the stars on the paper and then the grades and then the artifacts being perfect. And of course, AI is going to take that all over from us. And so we just have to be really aware that it's the heart, it's the character, it's the process. And once again, because we love our children, we make sure they know how to do the steps in the process. And children aren't adults. A lot of adult ideas are imposed on children. And they don't learn and think the way that we do. You know, I have 63 years in memoria. I can do pretty much anything at this point because I've got all this background. Well, an 8-year-old doesn't know what they're doing. They're born with a hope and a desire for something they've never even seen or heard of before. So it's up to us parents to bear that burden of modeling what their hope is in so that as they get older and older, they start to say, ah, that really is what I want. You know, and you do that. Every parent does that, right? By saying, teaching your children to say, thank you. I'm sorry, teaching them to get along with their siblings. Every single parent I've ever met has taught their child to walk and talk, which is the hardest two things a human being does. So every parent is fully equipped by the Lord to continue in raising their children in whatever fashion they see fit. And what's really sad is the public school system is beaten to parents that they aren't capable. And you
Yeah, that's
absolutely
true.
are.
You truly are. Some parents obviously are intimidated by the whole aspect of homeschooling, I know. And maybe working, or there's challenges. You set a path as a family when you do decide to homeschool. What are some of those challenges that you see across the country that parents kind of have to get over that hurdle, figure it out, and plan accordingly?
Yeah, you know, America is such a wonderful place because we're all so gung-ho and independent and love bootstraps. And so one of the things, you know, we tell brand new homeschoolers is first to spend a year loving on your children. You've got to kind of regain what that means to be a family. And then after that, to just slowly but surely give them one more responsibility at a time, just like you would in anything, you know, teaching them to clean their room or cook a meal. And so to go, you know, slowly but surely with the things that, you know, the Lord has given your family as their purpose. It's how you step into all that. And so the challenges that are two big ones, is income. And let me tell you, it's the most expensive thing you'll ever do. And in some ways, it's the cheapest thing that you'll ever do.
I
And it's
like that.
also really expensive in time. But those 16,000 hours with each of my four sons, I would have paid millions to, I mean, to try to keep them at
16,000.
home.
Wow.
Yeah, it's 16,000 hours you're giving, most likely, if they're in secular ed, right? You know what's happened there. But even if you're at a Christian school, they're learning that their peers are more important than their parents, right? You see that happening. And lots of times Christian schools put the Bible on top of the curriculum. It's not the foundation of the curriculum. And look, I support Christian schools. My husband and I are sponsors of a 5-day-a-week Christian school, a 3-day-a-week Christian school, a bunch of co-ops. We do everything we can. We ran a micro school during COVID. I'm not against Christian schools in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying that when you give up those 16,000 hours to somebody else, you are not the formative, image of God that they spent the most time with.
All right, moms, right after this short break, we'll continue our discussion on homeschooling with Lee with Classical Conversations. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. All right, welcome back, moms. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everybody to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your mama friends. This is how we get our information out. Also, we have an incredible library of past podcasts that you can check out as well. So please like, share, and subscribe. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for the podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsofamerica.net? I would love to hear from you. And lastly, I want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. We would love, love, love to have you here. It's moms like us all across this country uniting to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. Check us out at momsforamerica.us. We have some incredible resources for you, moms. We're here to support you all along the way. All right, now back to the show. When we talk about a classic Christian education, this is a whole well-rounded approach to the kids. I'd like to have you explain that, what the curriculum is, what the elements are, how you approached this and developed it.
You can go through scripture and you hear it constantly talk about knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And so parallel to that and how children learn and well, how anybody learns is what we call grammar, dialectic, and rhetoric. In fact, they used to call them grammar schools in our country because everybody knew that's how you taught children was they had to learn grammar, which is the fundamental rules of anything you do. So grammar may be the grammar of your language, but it also might be the grammar of welding or basketball or history. It's the facts, it's the knowledge, it's the things that you should just know. And of course, our little children are sponges for that. They love hymns and songs and skip roping and watching cartoons about George Washington. They just soak it all in. I love you to read to them at night. Well, that never ends. When I go to learn something new, I love being surprised by all the new information and the facts that I'm going to learn. So think of it as the information that you're just soaking in. That's the first part of a classical education. Then the second part is, all right, now I have this information. Well, now do I have questions? What do I do with all that information? What more can I learn about it? I don't even want to learn about that thing. Like you're questioning it and analyzing it. And then, of course, the Lord has us do all that. So then the final stage, which is we call rhetoric, is that you are ready to share what you know with the rest of the world. And of course, every parent knows when their child can explain something to them, their child understands it. So what we help parents know is there's really only three subjects. Everything else is just content, which makes your job a lot easier. You're trying to, anytime your child's interested or even not interested in something, assessing what do they know about it? What kind of questions are they generating? And what kind of artifacts, what kind of products can they produce? And the product could be as simple as a conversation with Daddy, Daddy, guess what we did today when he arrives home? But that's rhetoric. Every single person is born knowing grammar, dialectic, and rhetoric skills. That's how, it's not even classical education, it's human education. It's the
Basic,
only way
okay.
anybody learns anything. And so, it got called classical over the years because the classicists, as well as the Middle Age folks and the Greeks and Romans, the classical eras also understood this as education. And then, of course, the moderns threw that out when they went from grammar schools to elementary schools and started saying, you don't need to know all that rote memorization. We're going to teach you concepts. Well, you can't speak if you don't learn, if you don't memorize words. Rote memorization is the foundation of all knowledge, of all understanding, of all wisdom. And so we've now had 5 decades of children not studying grammar. They talk just fine, but can they tell the difference between an object complement noun and a direct object? Probably not, because we threw the rules out. Well, for those of us who love the Bible and love scriptures and love that there is a rule book, there's a place to go to when life's hard. There's a place to go to when you want to just celebrate life. Well, the Lord made that for every single arena. And that's what a grammar education does for you. And we have lost that. People don't know that anymore. And then, of course, we have the story of Jesus at the temple asking questions. And then we also have Paul, of course, was the greatest rhetorician of all time. So what we tell Christian families is that this is what human classical Christian education is. You teach your children to name like Adam, to ask questions like Jesus, and persuade like Paul. That's
Wow,
an
I love that.
education. So that's why we have debate and Socratic circles and mock trials, as
You
well as,
sure do.
and we read original source documents instead of modern books. Various, just it's a very different kind of education because it's grounded in the historical way. All humans know, everybody learns. And there's just been so much nonsense in the last 6 years in the school system.
Yeah, it really has. Boy, what a great testimony to true education, and of course, including Jesus Christ, the Bible as a historical life-changing piece, because that has been lost in society at every level. I mean, we've kicked Jesus out of everything. So bringing him back into education where he should be, the center focal point, is a huge point for education. I know that's what another reason why parents are flocking to your curriculum.
Yeah. Well, when you find a mom who really loves the Lord and that's her first goal in each day is to raise children who will be kings with Christ, that's a different kind of friend than you
That
normally
is.
teach. And when you get 8 or 9 of them together meeting once a week for over 10, 12 years, they get really smart in the sense of they really have the wisdom they can pass on and be that Titus 2 woman to the next generation.
What were some of the challenges maybe you had that you kind of had to overcome when you thought of homeschooling? Well, or that you've heard other parents feel? Do they feel like they're just not adequate, that they can't teach it? I mean, we just talked about, your home restructures, obviously, when you homeschool. But I think a lot of moms are just concerned that they can teach, maybe not, the younger ages, but when they start getting into high school. But now tools have become easier, and better resources now, correct? Because I think that's what a lot of moms will say, boy, high school is tough. I can't teach chemistry.
Right, because it's the same story I had at the beginning with my first one, and you don't know it till you live through it. But I was bringing school home, and by the time the third child rolled around, I was not doing that anymore. In fact, I don't want anything schoolish even near me or my children, at this point. But there was a new paradigms are hard to break. So people think, I have 6 subjects and 3 kids, and it's going to take me 18 hours a day, and it's
Right,
just
they're all on
not
different
that way.
levels.
Yeah, it's not that way at all. Most people who homeschool spend about 2 hours a day on actual formal academics. Older children will probably spend a couple more hours reading, away from the family. You got to read quietly. And so just the illusion that it's school being brought home, they don't understand the efficiencies that God's equipped us with. When you have a bunch of toddlers, boy, that's probably the hardest time you're ever homeschooling if you have a bunch of children under 5, 6, 7, 8. It just gets easier after that. So you just keep doing what you were doing, but instead of only reading, children's books, you say, "Hey, let's get a science book and read it together," or "Let's get a math book and read it together." You really only need to be a second ahead of your children. You don't have to be a
Second
master
ahead.
of subjects. We call that an expert teacher. But what you find over time is you become a master teacher. That if you're just constantly thinking about your children and where their headspaces and their thinking spaces are, and right there beside them, you start to find after a few years, I can just walk into the room and teach them whatever it is they need to be learning because I have become so good as an adult at thinking. And our system taught us to be graded and taught us when the bell rang that it's all over and go on to the next thing. It was constantly fragmenting our mental capacities. And every mom of toddlers experiences that again, right? You can only do things in so many minutes at a time. But they don't stay toddlers, they get older, and you get to have longer and longer engagements with them. And it's just a natural thing to do. But it doesn't feel like it because it's not modeled for you. It's kind of like in the 80s when I was nursing my children. So few women were breastfeeding. But you just had to do it, right? There was no one to help you. You just had to do it. Well, now, as you pointed out, there's so much help. You will not be alone. No matter NCC or going some other homeschool co-op or doing, like an Abeka curriculum, traditional kind, there are so many friends doing the same thing.
And that's what we need, support groups and, other moms around us gathering. I think the other thing too is that about homeschooling in, you had 4 boys, right? They all have different strengths. And weakness is probably not the right word to use, but they all learn differently, right? They're all on, they do things differently. And those are, that's another really important aspect of homeschooling, is that you can curtail the teaching to the child's strengths so they succeed.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I don't think that's the most important part. What your children are strong in, the Lord has given them that, and He will continue to equip them. It's where they're weak is where they need their parents. And it's for me to say, gosh, you're so good at math, but we got to do a little bit more Latin today.
Right,
Or
they
you're
learn
so good at,
differently.
yeah, or you're so good at language, we're going to make sure that you're really good at math too.
Right.
And that's the thing, like as a homeschooler, you don't have to teach everything to your children. A lot of the things they're going to naturally want to know. I always felt my job was to say, you don't really know what you need. You're a child. Let me help you where you don't like things. Let me help you where you're weak. To make you stronger. It's just like if you're an athlete, you cross train in order to be really good at the
Yeah.
one sport, right? Well, to be mentally to have that mental acuity, you got to cross train. You can't just do what you like. And how the Lord made you is, that's what freedom is, liberal arts. The Lord made
Yeah.
you as a child to learn a whole lot about a whole bunch of different things. And then, of course, we all want brain surgeons. We all like rocket scientists. Eventually, you become an expert. But
Yeah.
that liberal arts is the foundation of your expertise. Otherwise, I mean, why did doctors let the medical system fall apart when they let in the HMOs? Well, because all they knew was medicine. If they'd known accounting and business skills, maybe we wouldn't be in the healthcare crisis we're in.
Ah, maybe if they were homeschooled. No. But yeah, I just was thinking how each of your kids learn so differently. And, you just, no one knows their strengths, their weaknesses, their learning patterns better than mom, the teacher does. And obviously that is what we do best is teach them. What's some of the tips that you can give to our moms that are listening that would make homeschooling successful that you've learned from decades of teaching and practicing this?
So something that really helped me persevere through the years, because it's not all,
Right.
wonderful science experiments and things like that, is it's habits, it's attitudes. And so to go to bed every night saying, "Lord, I'm sorry," to die in my sleep to him, and to resurrect in the morning with his mercies being new again, and him saying, "All right, we're going to start all over again." Because here's the thing, if I had enough money to homeschool, if I had enough time to homeschool, if I had the right knowledge to homeschool, who needs the Holy Spirit? But I don't have any of those. I'm not adequate
Right.
in any area at all. And he is every single time.
I love that. And his mercies are new every morning, right? We've got to restart our day, dedicate our day, ask the Lord for forgiveness, help, and strength. And boy, that's how we do it the best, through him, with him, and in him. So, amen to that. How do we find out about classical conversations? And you, is it a full out curriculum? Are there classical conversation schools? I mean, schools that are using the curriculum as well, right? I mean, it's kind of multifaceted, if I understand
Well,
correctly.
so and because we have our books for sale online, anybody can buy them. And so even public school teachers will buy some of our books for their
Yeah.
students to read. But what we do is three things. Well, one's we develop the curriculum all based on original source documents, and we sell it. And then we train leaders, tutors in the classical model of education, and then they go make local communities. That's what we call them because they're not schools. We don't. It's not a drop-off program. The parents are there and they're in charge. And so then we help license entrepreneurial educators, homeschoolers who want to make a little bit of money on the side and are good at organization as well as really enjoy the classical model. So we train about 15,000 of them a year. And they organize themselves into the almost 3,000 churches that sponsor us. Or that, we use their location. And the parents and the children meet together one day a week with a very common curriculum where there's no big changes because your child changes and their ability changes. They need to know, what's coming next, as does the parent. And so you get together and you practice Latin and physics and just the various, how to be a rhetorician, how to ask questions, all those things. And then you go home and do the assignments as a family. And each parent is encouraged by the other parents to tailor or scale the assignments based on their child's abilities. And so it's like a weekly PTA meeting for homeschool moms. To like my favorite part of it is when other mothers will come up to me and say, "I noticed your son was struggling," or "I noticed your son did an amazing job compared to last week." Right? That they are watching and we're watching how they're doing. So that's why we get together once a week for half the year. Because as homeschoolers, we do like individual education. So for half the year, we compromise and work as a community. We're part of the body of Christ. It's not education's not about you, it's about Jesus. But the other half of the year, by not meeting every week, it gives us time for that individual thing, family travel, intensive
Right.
phonics, some remedial education for an older student. So we design the curriculum and the community for how people really live, not how the school system works.
And then that community too, they become friends and they have their social circles and whether they participates in sports and youth groups, and that becomes a part of their friend group, which is also important too. And it's nice to have that already designed, because then you have like-minded parents.
I mean, I think that's why we keep growing. We have 120 some thousand students enrolled this year and about 50,000 families. And that's just in the United States. We are in 50 countries around the world. And that's thanks to our military mamas. You know, when you're having to move a lot because your husband keeps getting deployed, there's so many things you have to find new. Your doctor, your mechanic, your housing. They don't need to find their friend group. They don't need to
What a
find
good
emotional
point.
support. And so, as the military mamas moved in the early decades, they just took it with them and started it in countries all around the world.
Isn't that
So,
great? It's so amazing to watch. You know, you just look at you and you think, wow, this is, and I always say this to the moms that come on and share what God has dropped in their heart, they said yes to, and they moved on that calling. Look what the Lord has done. You know, I'm sure if when you look back and you go, wow, you know, I was making my children priority and homeschooling, and look what God has done and how He's flourished and blessed. And now you have a worldwide, basically, Christian ministry. And that is amazing when we say yes. Some closing words of advice to our moms as we kind of look at education in the home. What you would say to them, because it is challenging times, and some moms are really trying to get their kids out of public school or investigate private education and Christian faith-based education or teach at home. What would you encourage them in today's world, with the challenges they're facing them? I mean, this it's tough times.
Yeah, so the first thing is to believe in Christ more than yourself, to be Christ confident. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Thanks, me.
That doesn't matter if I can teach math. He's going to help me figure it out as long as I ask for his help. And so know where your dependency is, and then know that you need the friends more than your children needs the friend. So go find that CC community or that homeschool co-op or that church weekly ministry of other homeschooling parents. You need your friends.
That's so true, because boy, we need to support one another. I was even just thinking about when you're talking about nursing, and boy, if you don't have a community around you, even for things like that, it's difficult. And it's like we are supposed to be here as women, you know, and encouraging, inspiring, and helping one another in the church, in our community, in our neighborhoods, and obviously, you know, teaching our kids. So this is what we're called to do. How do we find out about Classical Conversations?
Go to classicalconversations.com. Like
There we
everything else in the
go.
world, it's always easy. Yeah, and what I suggest you do is go to the community finder, put in your zip code, and send just a brief email. It's automatic. And then one of our local 15,000 women who are trained will give you an email back and say, "Do you want to meet for coffee?" And they will help explain what we do. And their goal is, they'd love for you to join CC, but our goal is so much bigger than that. They just want you to understand just the privilege and the joy of rebuilding your family for Christ.
Yeah. What great materials. I'm just the church right down the street here is Classical Conversations. And I mean, it is now that I've said this to our moms, one, if they know about it, they knew about it. But if they haven't been on this train of homeschooling yet, now once they investigate this and start talking about it in their communities and in their circles, people are going to be like, wow, my kids know Latin. My kids know how to debate. That's because of Classical Conversations. So, thank you for everything that you've done and to your team there. And it's just a family affair. I just love what God's done. And thank you for making this material available and this opportunity for moms all across this country.
Yeah, thank you, Debbie. And I think we'd be great friends if we just couldn't be near each other, you know? Thank you so much.
So,
You did a great job.
all right. Well, thank you and God bless and keep fighting the fight and providing this great material. And again, thanks to everyone there and to your family and the team. Great work.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Lee. And yes, we would be great pals if we were closer. So do appreciate all that you're doing. And thank you for bringing quality education to our homeschooling moms. And to all the rest of our mamas, thank you for being a part of today's show. And for more information on Moms for America and all of the amazing programs and resources that we have available to support you, please check us out at momsforamerica.us. When you go there, sign up for our newsletter. You'll get weekly updates. And then also there's some forms that you can sign up up for. And if you would like us to give you a call, if you'd like to start a group, join a group, or just take advantage of our materials, all you do is sign up on our website and we will follow up with you. As I say every week, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress, we have it all for you, moms. We're the ultimate support group. So please check us out. Please join the movement. We so appreciate you and all that you're doing. You're the greatest influencers in your children's lives. We so appreciate you joining us. And as always, let's keep changing our country. You got it. One home at a time. Thanks, moms, and I'll see you next week. God bless. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.